Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to episode 14 for Niner on Radio Free Redoubt. And I am John Jacob Schmidt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. And I want to thank all of you for joining us. I hope you had a blessed week. I had a great week. And well, it was had some ups and downs, but it was good. We got a lot of stuff accomplished. And I'm just stoked. We got several things we're going to cover tonight, as usual. And I want to remind you that you can follow us also over on facebook.com/radiofreeredoubt, where we post content, you know, once, twice, three, four times a day sometimes. And that's where we keep stories and information flowing that's more current than on radiofreeredoubt.com. And also, don't forget to join us the other side of Radio Free Redoubt, which is the communications network, amron.com. It's a nationwide continental radio operators network of mostly ham radio operators in every state in the United States and Canada and Puerto Rico. We've got radio operators all over the place. So check that out. We also have a Facebook page for that at amron.com or facebook.com/radio. Wait, I already talked about that. Facebook.com/amron. Okay, now, before we get into the news and commentary, I know that some of you have asked, and many of you are wondering, what's going on with Patriot Radio with Matt Shea and I 5 days a week over on this syndicated AM/FM radio show, talking about patriot and conservative Christian issues on the American Christian Network, ACN. I am not with Patriot Radio any longer, and I love Matt Shea, and I stand by him and support him in everything that he's doing. But there was some shenanigans going on, and apparently someone with a lot of money wanted to buy his way into radio, and it was an untenable situation, and so I am not with Patriot Radio any longer, and I am still continuing the mission. I mean, I got my hands full with Amron and Radio Free Redoubt, but you know, for the time that Matt and I were working together, we had a blast. It was so much fun. It was a great time, and it was just a privilege to be able to work with them, you know, that closely. But you know, I went into that praying about it. I don't know where, you just, you know, I pray, hey, open doors for me and close doors, guide me to where you want me to be, you know, bring me into contact with the right people, and make this cause go in a way that glorifies him, not me or anyone else, and for his purposes. So I just kind of laid it all out there. And so I guess I shouldn't be bitter, you know, that, well, someone has certain ambitions and a lot of money. And that's about all I'm going to say on that, because I don't want to get into gossip, but let's just say we didn't get along. And, but that's all right. Yeah, I'm not going to say anymore. So I do really appreciate your support, your continued prayers, and we are not going to be, we're definitely going to be continuing to help Matt Shea out with his campaigns and support and the Freedom Agenda Washington. We are not going to be promoting or supporting Patriot Radio any longer. So I'll just leave it at that. Man, there's some great people out there, though. There's just some amazing patriots that really, truly are Christians. What else can I say? It's just been an amazing journey. And so many of you, I can't tell you how heartfelt of a appreciation and thanks and gratitude that I feel toward some of the letters that you guys send in, some of the scriptures, just words of support. Some of you guys warriors out there, all different backgrounds, and you know, financially supporting us by helping to spread the word and build the cause, because that's what really this is about. It is about motivating and waking the patriots up, and you guys are doing that. We're all doing that together, and in the process, trying to prepare a safe haven, a refuge for God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots to strategically relocate, demographically strengthening an area to prepare ourselves for the days ahead. And that's what we're doing. And we are on mission. We are moving forward. And it has been a really busy week working with some of the leadership, statesmen, clergy, and community leaders, with lots of meetings moving forward to build these committees that we started talking about months ago. And those are actually starting to come to fruition, which actually, to open those doors up, other doors had to be closed. So I'm trusting in him that he's got me exactly where he wants me to be, and that he has his hand over me and protects me from ambitions and plans of other people that their cause is maybe themselves. So basically, just continue to support us and pray for us and be there and offer your technical expertise and advice. And many partisans are stepping up, both on the Radio Free Redoubt and Amron side of the house, to make this go. We're just getting bigger and stronger and growing faster than a whole bunch of volunteers can even keep up with. So bear with us. I know there's been some frustration. I've emailed and nobody responded. It's like, well, you know, we're wading through all of this. So thanks for your patience as well. Well, let's get into the news and commentary that is brought to you by our great friend Glenn Tate from the 299 Days book series. Of course, all 10 books are out now, including the audio books. And those are a real treat. I'm going through those slowly but surely in the middle of 5 books that I'm reading and 2 audio books. And I try to, you know, nibble those away a little by little. I know a lot of you guys have enjoyed that, especially the final book, book 10, The 43 Colonels. That was a real treat because I know so many of these guys, you know, personally, and they are really true patriots that were identified as colonels, you know, in that book 10, movers and shakers and behind the scenes people and leadership, you know, more high profile folks. And everything in between all came together and converged in that that final book in that series. It was really cool. Breaking news. I just got contacted by one of our Amron Corps, 2 of our Amron Corps members, actually. One shot me an email and one through another method of communications that we use. In Australia, hostages are being held inside of a Central Sydney cafe where, and this is my first question, was this some Islamic thing or is this a angry ex-boyfriend? You know, what's going on? Ex-employee? Well, they're flying a black flag with the white Arabic writing. Local television showed Monday, that's right now, going on right now, it's Monday in Australia, raising fears of an attack linked to Islamic militants. Prime Minister Tony Abbott said that he was convening a meeting of the Cabinet's National Security Committee for a briefing on what he called a hostage situation in Australia's commercial capital. So, like I said, they are on the move. There's going to be more of this, and we're going to see this in the United States. Go armed wherever you are. Of course, the people in Australia gave up their firearms. So they were pretty much, now they have to rely on someone else to come and save them, because now they can't save themselves. And if this is ISIS, well, they're in trouble. Go armed everywhere. We're living in a different world. So there. Secret Homeland Security report is warning of a solar storm that could leave 100 million without power. Homeland Security officials are warning that a major coronal mass ejection, that has nothing to do with Mexican beer, by the way, a solar flare or electromagnetic pulse may be inevitable and catastrophic to modern civilization. The devastation to the electrical grid and modern infrastructure could impact the lives of more than 100 million and cause untold casualties during prolonged outages. And you guys are all yawning right now listening to this, because this is not a newsflash for you, because this is an informed audience. Many of you have read One Second After or Lights Out, and you've been following some of the research and other reports that have come out. So this is a secret report that was given to Congress. And so it sounds like somebody's actually finally paid attention. But yeah, this is really important. The report outlines the scenario for a major coronal mass ejection from the sun that will first be detected by U.S. satellites. The magnetic band reaches the Earth within 24 to 72 hours, affecting up to 100 million people. Now, the largest such storms, called a G5, would cause transformers and transmission lines to be severely damaged. Like, as in, boom. The storms last for hours, up to a day, but can disrupt electrical power operations, GPS satellites, aircraft operations, manned spaceflight, satellite operations, natural gas distribution pipelines, and undersea communications cables. Though acknowledging they lack sufficient information about what exactly might happen, it's clear enough what kind of damage and disruption of service it might pose for the infrastructure that everyone depends upon. Well, because they base this on historical examples. In 1859, there was a situation called the Carrington Event. And in 1921, with a huge magnetic storm, the federal government and the utility companies both admit that another event of this magnitude would take down the existing power grid and could affect some 100 million people. The former officer, former CIA official, Peter Pry, warned that a large solar flare could have catastrophic consequences for civilization. He says, "We're running out of time to prepare. They're expecting something like this to happen." And in July, there was one that narrowly missed the Earth. And that could have been easily a second Carrington event. So, you know, we always try to be prepared. We want to be self-reliant citizens. And we have no idea, you know, how God plans to deal with us. But he never seems to do it the same way twice. But we do know that, well, we're living in an increasingly godless world. And we could be just basically vulnerable to all kinds of things. I believe that the United States is going to be taken out of the picture as a major significant role player in end times. And I believe, you know, as a Christian, that we're getting closer to that. We could be living like in the last months, or it could be 20 or 30 years away and we just get dissolved because we're on that track anyway. So could there be a rebuilding process? Could we crumble into smaller nation states? Well, there's historical examples of that as well. And well, sadly, there's also historical examples of God's people turning against him, and he just says he's had enough with them and turns them over to their enemies, and they go into bondage for a generation or 10. So, well, all we can do is appeal to heaven and hope in him that he will preserve his remnant. So there we are. As we continue to deteriorate, though, we have an increasingly overreaching federal government. Justin Amash, which is I think Michigan congressman, he's outraged, as you know, all of us who are aware of this should be. apparently this legislation was passed 325-100 using a voice vote, basically giving a green light to what he calls, Amash calls, one of the most egregious sections of law I've encountered during my time as a representative. The bill allows the private communications of Americans to be scooped up without a court order and then transferred to law enforcement for criminal investigations. So no longer a matter of national security and fighting terrorism. Basically, if they want to sniff somebody out and find out who somebody's been talking to and where they've been going, they're going to basically have it at their fingertips. The legislation effectively codifies and legalizes mass warrantless NSA surveillance on the American people with barely a whimper of debate. Now, for those of you living in the American Redoubt, I didn't get a chance to finish my research before the show, but in Idaho, your representatives, let's see, Mike Simpson in the 2nd Congressional District, he voted for this. So make a note and spread the word and have some words with him. And if he doesn't seem to have a repentant heart and makes excuses for himself, well, then you need to replace him. Now, Raul Labrador, District 1, he says, no go at this station. I'm not voting for this. Matter of fact, I'm voting against it. So once again, he's proving himself to be the conservative. Everybody's holding their breath and hoping that he will continue to be. And standing the ground, standing for liberty. And so good job on, or congratulations for those of you living in the 1st Congressional District. Your man is looking out for you again so far. The House of Representatives Thursday approved approval of the Intelligence Authorization Act for 2015 has raised the hackles of civil liberties advocates and some lawmakers, some, but underline some, for its potential to dilute America's rights, as well as for the way the vote was done, which was very underhanded. They came in, they snuck it in late at night, and... Well, isn't there something in Proverbs about the evil plans and the people make in the dark? I can't remember that. Something's just kind of popping into my head, but I can't quite place it. But ZeroHedge.com are reporting that the Department of Treasury is spending $200,000 on survival kits for all of its employees who oversee the federal banking system, according to a new solicitation. These are, you know, solicitations that are put out for contract so the companies can bid on these. Apparently, these survival kits will be delivered to every major bank in the United States. It includes a solar blanket, food bars, water purification tablets, and dust masks, among other things. You know, this is kind of interesting, too, because a lot of these people that are in the banking industry, they live in a completely different world. Their mindset is that they're just impervious to anything that, you know, us peasants and serfs would be subjected to. They live their fast life, driving nice cars, drinking lattes on the way to work, and they're completely out of touch. But there is a small and growing segment of people in the banking and financial and economic industries who are very aware. So here's the, you got two different types of groups. One group, they're going to look at this survival kit and go, oh my gosh, are you serious? I am not putting that in my trunk. And then you've got these other people that are saying, oh my gosh, are you serious? I have a full-blown retreat with a bunker system that is totally loaded for 5 years. And, you know, a way to get there and bug out vehicle and aircraft and everything else, you know, in Montana on 150 acres. And this little thing is a joke. So I don't know how well. I'm sure there's some people that are going to say, oh, good, in case there's an earthquake, maybe. All right, fine. I've been meaning to, and they'll hang on to it. But for the most part, I think they're just going to squander $200,000. I could be wrong. I'm not trying to be cynical, but I do have a pretty good grasp on human nature and how people think. Don't forget, Christmas is coming. Go to Patriot Depot to get your Patriot gear, clothing, and also the Amron Amazon store. Somebody in your family is trying to get your comms up and want to get that extra external antenna, maybe a little Baofeng, Baofeng, Pofeng radio. a new scanner or shortwave radio, whatever it might be, go to the Amron Amazon store. And if you're going to buy it, if you're already in the market, don't buy stuff you don't need. But if you're already in the market for something, we've checked the prices, and we also, the stuff we have up there is gear that we recommend and that's been tried and true and tested by Amron operators that say, hey, you know, this I recommend this piece of equipment. And that's the kind of stuff, books and resources and things like that that we have there. All right, Fox 519 with the eye on the economy. Tell us what you got, Fox.
Abortion, the Affordable Care Act, Afghanistan, Amtrak, and campaign finance. The CDC, the Clean Water Act, Dodd-Frank, Ebola, EPA, the Federal Worker Pay Program, the FDA, and Guantanamo Bay. This is just a small sample of the $1 trillion spending bill that is sitting up on Capitol Hill right now and how they're going to waste your money over the next year. It has been another busy week for the financial elites of the world as they plan to crash the American economy. And I'll bring you more news from the G20 summit that took place a few weeks back. This is Sunday, December 14th, 2014, and I am Fox 519, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Welcome back. Eye on the Economy is brought to you this week by the PrepperRecon.com store. Stop by the PrepperRecon.com supply store for a great selection of Molly compression packs, hydration kits, and concealed carry tactical slings. Packs and slings are available in several tacti-cool colors and camo patterns with your choice of patch to let liberals know how you feel. Choose from the ever-popular Moulin LaBey Come and Take It patch, the Sheepdog patch, or matching U.S. flag patches. Also check out the great selection of Molly-compatible individual first aid kits, which feature an IBD chest seal, quick clot, NPA tourniquet, an EMT shears, and tons of extras. Go to the PrepperRecon.com store and click on the store tab at the top of the homepage. And now, on to the news. So, $1.1 trillion. That is what your government wants to spend in the coming year on all sorts of worthless items. The details of the continuing spending bill released on December 10th, and it sounds like everyone in Capitol Hill is going to get their way when it comes to spending money in the year. I don't know about you, but if I did the job they did in the past year, I'm sure Santa would be bringing me plenty of coal, not $1.1 trillion. Among some of the biggest atrocities in this bill, it includes changes to the campaign finance laws that will allow a dramatic expansion in the amount that donors could contribute to either the Democratic or Republican National Committee, from $32,000 to $324,000. So we are again being able to buy the elections and votes all over. Then we have the CDC. They'll get another $42.7 million to fight Ebola around the world. I have a simple fix for that. Close the border. It will cost significantly less. Then we have $948 million to the Department of Health and Human Social Services Unaccompanied Child Program, an $80 million increase. This program provides health and education service to young migrants. The department also gets a $14 million help to schools and districts absorbing new immigrant children. And then the State Department would get another $260 million to assist Central American countries from where the immigrant children are coming from. So, let me get this straight. We're going to give the countries that are sending us the kids $260 million. Are we buying the citizens and the votes at this point? Finally, we have a $10 million increase in the cost it takes to run the executive mansion, bringing the grand total to run just the White House to $222 million. It definitely doesn't cost me that much to run my house. Now, there were some upsides to the spending bill, albeit some incredibly small ones. We saw a pay freeze for the vice president. We continue to see the blocking of federal funds to murder our children through abortion. We did see a $345.6 million taken from the IRS's general budget, and new language that would prevent the targeting of organizations seeking tax-exempt status based on their ideological beliefs. This could be a two-edged sword. We're really going to have to watch this one. And finally, Queen Obama's lunch program took a hit on new stringent standards that would allow more flexibility to school districts to implement new whole grain nutrition standards, quote, if the school can demonstrate hardship when buying whole grain products. I still don't think that's going to fix the problem. All in all, we saw some small victories, but for the most part, all of the major government programs got a bump in their budgets, and they hardly took any cuts. Again, they're going to screw us. I'm not sure how all this is going to play out next year. With the market down more than 1,000 points since the beginning of October and Europe in freefall, again, I would imagine that these programs could quite possibly be never funded. Well, we can only hope so. There is nothing you or I can do to fight this bill. The Senate has already approved it, and now it's in the House and has to be approved as well. Your leaders are not listening anymore. We have local ones who do, but all in all, the Capitol doesn't hear your voice. Here's what you can do to prepare for this. Make sure you have food, water, and security needs covered, and make sure, most of all, you're guarding bank accounts, and I'm about to tell you why. Along those same lines, I've had multiple questions around the G20 summit meeting that took place in Australia earlier this year, and the new rules that surround the, quote, bail-in regulations that were established. The details have come out about now how the five biggest banks in America, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, and U.S. Bank, who, quote, is in debate for that fifth spot, now show all have derivatives of $280 trillion on their combined books. Under the new regulations, everyone, only depositors, $250,000, will be covered, and the rest of the deposit will have to go to cover the derivatives first, not the deposits. So not bank operations. Not the deposits in the accounts, the derivatives first. This is ridiculous, and I want to put this in perspective for you. Our current FDIC fund only has $46 billion in it as of this moment. There are over $4.5 trillion of deposits at any one time in any of the banks in America. Your deposits will never be protected. When the collapse comes, all the big banks will do is cover their butts and leave you out in the cold. Your bank's promise of FDIC coverage is nothing more than a lie. Take it from me. I was a banker for 14 years. I was even told during the Wamu Chase debacle that I was to tell clients that their money was always going to be safe, even though it could take them years to get it back. Patriots and preppers, listen to me now. We are closer than ever to the derivatives balloon bursting and the market crashing. The signs are there. You have to make sure your wealth is preserved in things that will benefit your family in the long run. It's time once again to take a look at your gold and silver holdings and reevaluate where you stand. And finally tonight, we saw the biggest storm in 5 years hit the People's Republic of California. It caused widespread power outages and kept people from going to work and other errands. Here's the thing. It wasn't a traumatic storm. A lot of rain fell, and there was some flooding. But people were totally unprepared about being without power for 48 hours. 48 hours. CBS Good Morning actually interviewed two women, and they said the following. I thought we were going to watch TV all day, but now the power's out. That was one Beth Ludwig. Beth's mom added that the kids had never experienced a power outage before. Never in their life, and they were totally unprepared for it. Then there was Georgia Vigili. She was one of the hundreds of thousands in the Bay Area who lost most of the conveniences of modern life. I don't have any power, Vigili said. I couldn't get my car out of the garage. I have no food. I have no cash. So I'm trying to forage for something. I'm trying to forage for something. Just hear that. Dear listeners, don't allow your friends to be a Georgia. Remember, everyone, we were only 9 meals away from anarchy. 9 meals, and the entire system begins to break down. We saw it after Sandy Hook with people digging through the garbages. We saw it after Katrina with people holed up in the Superdome. The only people who can look out for you is you. It's time to start being brave and reaching out to your friends and neighbors to see where they stand on their emergency plans. Because, remember, you can't feed the entire neighborhood. Now it's time for my advice of the week. It's time to start looking at your power generation again. More importantly, what does your short-term heating look like? Most of you are listening probably all have wood stoves in your home. I have several myself. But as far as temporary heating, my favorite heater is the kerosene heater. If you have one, now is the time to check your wicks. Make sure you have spares and make sure you see a good inch of unburned wick. This will keep your heater from smoking and creating more carbon monoxide than needed. Also, make sure you're putting in clean kerosene. Remember, knowing that there's some venting in the room, especially when you're running it, then you'll be able to breathe easy knowing that your family is going to stay warm when everyone else is in the cold. Well, thanks for listening, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
Watch through the eyes of Noah Parker as a global empire takes shape. Ancient writings are fulfilled, and the last days fall upon the once great United States of America. Buy The Days of Noah, Book 1, Conspiracy, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.
segment two at the Voice of the American Redoubt, brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate to help you get strategically relocated to the northernmost part of the panhandle of North Idaho. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Check them out, and they are great Patreon-owned, a great Patriot-owned business, and they will make sure that you get taken care of. Remember last week I was talking about the German far-left party taking parliament and the communists returned to power 25 years after the fall of the Berlin Wall. Yeah, the far-left party mostly represented, you know, the holdovers from communist days have returned to power in Germany. And Germany's got some major cultural rifts that are taking place right now. And some people are saying, oh, they're not communists, they're socialists, but I wouldn't call them communists. You know, Ayn Rand, I love a lot of her work. You know, I know she's an atheist, but she also came from communism. And of course, a lot of her atheism stemmed from just her bitterness toward, you know, the state-sanctioned Orthodox Russian church, which was kind of an oppressive tyrant in and all of itself. But she came to the United States and she went to the light. She went toward the light. She left the darkness. And at least in a political, socio-political sense. But she said there's no difference between communism and socialism except in the means of achieving the same ultimate end. Communism proposes to enslave men by force, socialism by vote. It is merely the difference between murder and suicide. And I couldn't agree more. But this globalist political think control stuff that's going on, it's even permeating Germany. They're divided right now because they're saying, look, we're being torn apart as a nation. We're losing our heritage. Ethnically, we're being purged out. We're being replaced by Muslims. And well, now the German police are claiming they see a rise in far right extremism. What's far right extremism? Well, this is another one of these real slick media pieces where they demonize the conservative people by associating them with, you know, anarchists and hate, you know, skinheads and things like this. German police have noted a significant rise in far-right extremism and attacks targeting foreigners. The trend is seen as a backlash against a sharp increase in refugees. That means infiltration in the invasion by Muslims. Arriving in Germany, Europe's biggest economy and top destination for asylum seekers and other migrants. Kind of like the United States, people seeking asylum from poverty in the United States. We're seeing, this is their quote, we're seeing a significant nationwide increase in xenophobic, love that word. That's a good control word right there. Nobody wants to be called xenophobic, even if you don't know what it means. It's, whatever it means, it doesn't sound like it's something I want to be called. So they're seeing an increase in xenophobic offenses. Federal Criminal Police Office Chief Holger Münch told an Interior Ministers Conference last week, the Welt am Sonntag, which is the world in the morning, the world at morning, literal translation, reported, saying that in the latest attacks, three buildings reserved to house asylum seekers were set ablaze in the southern town of Vora last Thursday with Nazi swastikas and racist slogans scrawled across the walls. Okay, we got a problem because people that hate immigrants are Nazis, right? But, well, when you read further on, we realize this isn't really, this is usually actually backwards. Usually they'll show the conservatives first and then pull in the association by bringing in Nazis and skinheads. But apparently, these guys are saying patriotic Europeans against the Islamization of the Occident, or Pegida, which drew over 10,000 people last Monday. It's a big protest. The marches have been dominated not by shaven-headed neo-Nazis, which the media would likes to focus on, but by disenchanted citizens, regular citizens, with a host of grievances, many waving German flags and chanting nationalistic slogans. Newsweekly Spiegel reported that three Pegida organizers have criminal records and that the group has drawn support from the neo-Nazi and far-right football hooligan movements. You know, this is kind of like the, you know, the Patriot or Tea Party move. They do the same thing in the United States with, like, the Tea Party, for example. They find, you know, some photos of a couple skinheads showing up at a Tea Party movement, and then they're saying the Tea Party has drawn support from some whatever. Oh, we got three of these organizers with criminal records. What does that mean? Is anybody living in society today that is not committing crimes on a regular basis? You can't live in this society without committing crimes. Crimes you're not even aware of. So it doesn't even say what these crimes are. Are they violent crimes? Did somebody get caught stealing a CD when they were 19 years old, you know, 20 years ago? And it's on their record. Who knows? It doesn't say. So basically, they're demonizing the organizers they change the argument. We're not talking about a criminal record or something I maybe pocketed, you know, 10 years ago. We're talking about our nation being destroyed by this government that is bringing in more and more Muslims and encouraging it and probably even funding it. And they're changing our nation, and we want it to stop. So anyway, this is what they're doing, basically, is they're demonizing the Germans that are conservative and concerned. The AfD's Bernd Luck told Berliner Zeitung am Sonntag newspaper, there is an Islamic ideology that glorifies violence, discriminates against women, and questions our legal system. When citizens rebel against that, it is right and proper. So, and he's right. There's a voice of common sense right there. And this is one of these guys from one of these organizations that's protesting that is being marginalized at best and demonized by people in the government and people on the far left that are really trying to destroy the, you know, the German culture. And we see this in the European countries all over the place. It's just that in Germany, it's the most probably pronounced, and the pushback is the strongest and the most visible. Interesting. So let's talk about demonizing those conservatives. You guys probably heard about this piece that ran on InfoWars. Somebody was in the Spokane Valley in our backyard in the American Redoubt, where they have an MRAP on display. And this gal comes up to this police officer, sheriff's deputy, and says, "Why do you need something like this?" And we've got the audio here, so we'll go ahead and play it. Let's listen to his opening statement.
Well, the nice thing about this piece of equipment is that if somebody is directing fire toward a team that's trying to get in, they can pull right up to a front. I don't know if you want to take enemy fire and still try to address a threat without being fear of getting shot.
Okay, so it's hard to hear because there's background noise. He says, well, the nice thing about this piece of equipment is if somebody's directing fire toward the team that's trying to get in, they can pull right up to the front door, and then something's unintelligible there, to take enemy fire and still try to address the threat without being fear of getting shot. Direct quote. So he sounds like a vet. He sounds like, I mean, very, you know, militant type of terminology. Probably not something that a peace officer should be using with the general public, you know, taking enemy fire, directing fire against the enemy. Anyway, that's, you know, that's his language. It's probably his background and what he's just saying. So, you know, I think that probably, well, some indoctrination is probably necessary to get them to transition over into, you know, peace officer type of mentality. And I know there's some bad guys. Hey, we're facing, look, we get a situation at the mall where ISIS takes down a coffee shop or something. We want guys that are warriors to show up and wipe them out and flat just mop the place up with them and spill a lot of ISIS blood. Okay, so I don't have a problem with that, but I want to make sure that these guys properly compartmentalize their skill sets and their mentality and properly place it where it needs to go. Now, I don't want a peace officer, social worker with a badge showing up at a coffee shop to respond to a hostage situation where my wife or my family is in there being held by ISIS. I want warriors showing up. Okay, and those warriors are going to be from our police department. All right, I get that. But let's listen to what he says after she asks him a question. Hold on a second. Here we go.
So I'm thinking that is totally appropriate in Iraq, but what kind of a situation in the U.S. would you see that happening?
I mean, we've got a lot of constitutionalists, a lot of people that stockpile weapons, a lot of ammunition. They have weapons here locally.
Now we got a problem. She's asking, I'm thinking this is totally appropriate in Iraq, but what kind of a situation in the U.S. would you see this happening? What's he say? I mean, we got a lot of constitutionalists and a lot of people that stockpile a lot of weapons and a lot of ammunition, and they have weapons here locally. Okay, right now, I'm sure the Sheriff's Department is just scrambling right now to figure out how to fix this mess, because this has gone viral. And this is in Spokane Valley, Washington, in very conservative in the American Redoubt. Now, first of all, I got a couple thoughts on this. First of all, the Sheriff's Department needs to talk to their deputies. A, you don't do press releases. Okay, but you're out there doing public relations, right? Shaking hands, kissing babies, passing out balloons and putting little badge stickers, future patrolman, stickers on little kids and stuff like that. Some citizen walks up and asks you about this MRAP. If I were a sheriff or a chief of police, I'd want to make sure that my guys can handle this situation properly. Not just so that they give the people lip service so we don't get in trouble, but I really want the guys to understand properly or appropriately understand why we have this equipment. I want them to thoroughly understand why we have this equipment. We're living in an increasingly dangerous world. Okay, if we've got a hostage situation to protect the team or an active shooter situation, wouldn't you want us to have something that if we could get to your child and throw him in the back of this thing to drive him away safely so if bullets are flying, he will be protected? That's why we have this. That's the right answer. That's not just the right answer for public consumption. That is truly the right answer. But why I'm glad this happened, because it just revealed something that is a huge problem in this country. Because there are, I will say this before I go any further, this deputy did not speak for the department or for the other deputies. There are patriots on every department that I'm aware of. And I know many police officers, and I know of many police officers that don't know me or know who I am, but they are patriots. They are oath keepers. They are God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots that understand that there's danger out there. They're called to that line of work. They don't do it to feed their ego. They do it just because it's just in them. That's how they're wired. And they also understand the dangers that comes with having that type of authority and power, and they keep it in check, and they stay close to the Lord, and they understand the law, and they understand the Constitution, and they want to go as far as they can to stay within the Constitution, but still get the job done and find that balance there and not cross the line. And they're very aware of that, and they're very conscious of that. So this deputy didn't speak for all of his fellow law enforcement officers. In fact, I'm sure some of them are just shaking their head because, A, they disagree. The other ones are shaking their head because they're like, dude, you weren't supposed to say that, because now we're in trouble. Because now it's going to come back and bite us. Because this video is going viral. And here comes the heat. And it was pretty cool because they went to Matt Shea with this because they couldn't get a hold of the sheriff's department in time for their article at the InfoWars, apparently. So they went to Matt Shea. He handled it beautifully, as usual. And he says that he was appalled by it. And he says, will law-abiding citizens who love the Constitution and the rule of law be hunted down with MRAPs? He asked. Constitutionalism is fundamental to being an American. To hate the Constitution and those who support it means you're a traitor to this country. This is spitting in the face of all those heroes that fought, bled, and died so we might live free. The question should be, why aren't you a constitutionalist? Why don't you believe in the rule of law? Why don't you believe that the Constitution means what it says? That's excellent. Very well done. Okay. To the police officers and people in those kind of positions where you're on a tactical team, maybe you have access to an MRAP. I don't want you to just say this is for hostage situations so we can safely pull people out of there. I want you to mean it. Because this right here is it is the manifestation of the indoctrinations. That our police departments and even our military and our federal agencies are being subjected to, spearheaded by anti-American hate groups. They hate God. They hate the Constitution. They hate the rule of law. They hate the law of God and nature's God. They hate that there is a higher authority than the state. They hate that you will not embrace globalism, and they are not going to, they're just anti-American. And they have wiggled their way in to teach as watch hate group threat, domestic terror threat watch groups, as they like to self-identify, to teach your local law enforcement. This is your plan of action, citizen. You go to your sheriff and you take this story to them and you tell them you want to know what their policy is on people who embrace the Constitution and demand that anti-American, unpatriotic globalists who are spewing lies are never permitted to come and teach your department that constitutionalists, that homeschoolers, that people that believe in securing our borders or Second Amendment rights are not a threat to America or to that police department or to the community. Demand that they choose a side. Demand that this never happens in your community. Ask them where they stand. Ask them, do you ever use the Southern Poverty Law Center or any similar organization to come and teach your department on potential threats? Do you ever use, or ask them, who do you use? What organizations do you use to come in and educate your officers and your staff on the current threats, domestic threats? And then you thoroughly research those organizations. And if they're using the Southern Poverty Law Center, you start a petition in your community and demand that they withdraw any future support from these organizations. Last week, I talked about, we had an interview with Anthony Bosworth, one of the organizers, with Gavin Syme, putting this I-594, I Will Not Comply rally together in Olympia in response to this unconstitutional, illegal I-594 that they duped the citizens into passing. Well, there was a huge rally with at least a couple of thousand people there. Some say several hundred, but looking at the crowd, it's more than just several hundred. Several hundred is an understatement. And it was a huge success. There was a great speaker, Mike Vanderboe. I think that's how you pronounce it. He spoke and gave a great speech. I'm going to post that over there, that YouTube video on the highlights and resources posting for today's show. So you'll be able to come back and take a look at that video. It turned out really great. State Representative Elizabeth Scott from the 39th District. She was there. Gavin Syme was there. Sheriff Richard Mack, the 3%er, Mike Vanderbo, and many others gave some great speeches and made declarations. And they just covered a lot of who's this fourth? Representative Scott said that she will be introducing legislation to repeal I-594 as soon as the Washington legislature reconvenes in January. And although it's highly unlikely the bill will pass, or most likely it'd be vetoed by the leftist Governor Inslee, she said she'll try to pick it apart piece by piece if necessary. Now, she's not alone. She is just the spokesperson, because there are actually many legislators that are behind her on this. So we'll just have to remember to keep them in our prayers. We have to stand up. We have to stand up for righteousness. We have to stand up for the rule of law. We have to speak out against it when we see it, against lawlessness, against unconstitutional actions, against immoral actions. You know, I've been working with several leadership, working to start developing these committees, and we're actually making great headway. Now we're starting to get in from talking to actually implementation and the nuts and bolts, the mechanics of it, so we can really start to become effective. And it's been very well received among most. But there's some people, like there was a pastor that said, another pastor sent him an email saying that you're approaching this in an unchristian-like way, by, you know, forming committees and standing up against, you know, the government action, basically unconstitutional actions and the eroding liberties of Americans. He says, you're cultivating a spirit of rebellion, and it's not Christ-like. He said, you, to this pastor, you are creating an adversarial relationship with the government. And we're not supposed to be bringing division, but building a partnership. We should be partnering with our government. Let me point something out here. Christian patriots aren't instigating conflict. We're living our lives. We want to be left alone, and we want to leave others alone. They're bringing this conflict to us. This is like, you know, if somebody comes up to your house and they say, I want to take your wife. You know, and then you say, no, you're not going to. And then he forcibly tries to take your wife, and then the fight's on. Why are you being so combative? Why are you causing problems? Why do you have such a rebellious spirit? Well, hold on. There comes a point where I didn't go looking for some guy to pick a fight with. They're fighting. They're coming at us. They're attacking us. They're going to our pastors and saying, you will marry this homosexual couple. You will bake this cake for this couple. You will, your daughter will be able to get a state-funded abortion without your knowledge or your consent. These are the kind of things that we didn't go out looking for a fight. We're not trying to, they're the ones that are causing disunity. They're the ones that are rebellious. Violations to the Constitution is illegal. So what? Do they get to do just whatever they want and we have to comply just because they said so? On what authority? You have to have authority to be able to assert your will over someone else. What authority do you have? They claim authority based on what grounds? Because their bureaucratic policy says so? You must participate in celebrating in a homosexual partnership because a judge somewhere says you have to? And because that judge is perceived as someone with authority, we actually even have Christians saying to go against that is rebellious and unchristian. Where does that judge get her authority? Well, you might say from the government or even the Constitution. But no judge has the authority to overrule the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. Harassment, prosecution, persecution is illegal against Christians based on the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution and the first articles of every state's constitutions. But a judge rules that Idaho's constitution defining marriage as between a man and a woman is unconstitutional. This is a result of removing God from our culture, because there is a higher power, a higher authority than even the Constitution. That higher authority is the law of nature and nature's God that our founding fathers spoke of. Our heritage is replete with reporting documents, letters, court rulings, records of constitutional convention debates, and on and on. You cannot submit to an authority which contradicts the higher authority. And if we're faced with so-called laws that contradict the laws of nature and nature's God, we cannot comply. We can't. We cannot obey laws that go against the Constitution and that go against God. I submit that obedience to godlessness is rebellion against God. And why would we ever even consider doing that? For peace? For compromise? To appease man? Men who cannot protect us from his judgment. I stand with Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and many others when they said resistance to tyranny is obedience to God.
It makes me livid when I hear the anti-self-defense thugs and their minions in the government, in the media, and from Hollywood talk about common sense gun regulation or reasonable measures to keep criminals from getting their hands on guns. Fortunately, the pro-Second Amendment Americans vastly outnumber the hopeful slave makers. Still, they keep pushing and pushing and pushing. Since they can't ban combat rifles or handguns outright without starting the Second American Revolution, they change their tactics. These appear as soft tactics, but their end goal is the same: disarm the American people. And their sights are set specifically on the middle class. These tactics are licensing and registration. This creeping gradualism is nothing short of tyranny, and has historically always led to confiscation. If they were honest with you and me, and especially themselves, they would acknowledge their measures do nothing to reduce crime. But then, reducing crime was never their goal. Vladimir Lenin said, "A system of licensing and registration is the perfect device to deny gun ownership to the bourgeoisie." But I say, never register or license your arms, and never give them up. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, in ideals which define us.
Tactical Wood Gas is your off-grid power solution. You've seen their gasifiers in operation at the Preparedness Expos, a veteran-owned business right here in the American Redoubt. TacticalWoodGas.com manufactures wood gas systems and 12-volt generators plumbed for wood gas. Produce your own electricity without the need to store gasoline or diesel fuels. It runs on gases produced from burning wood. And now you can store the power you produce. They offer affordable and expandable battery banks for power outages, including a ruggedized model for tactical use and field operations. And if you act soon, you'll get a free aluminum 400 lumen AA flashlight with each battery bank purchase during the month of December. Call them at 1-800-516-4249. That's 1-800-516-4249. Or visit them today at www.tacticalwoodgas.com.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's Great Redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Welcome back. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and you're listening to Radio Free Redoubt. And this is episode 14-49er. Probably have a couple more before we round out the year. And it's exciting. We've got some Christmas presents we're going to be giving away here in just a little bit with a contest. You guys have been practicing your digital communications. We want to say thank you for preparing to become self-reliant, to become proficient, to be able to get your comms up to receive information and share information. And so this is just a way to encourage you to participate, a way of saying thank you for those of you who are taking this seriously. You understand the days that we're in, and especially the days that we have ahead will require something of us. And one of the things that will require of us is to develop skill sets that, well, maybe in any other time and place and political, social environment wouldn't even be necessary. But these could be very necessary in the future to be able to communicate with each other and share intelligence and information and news. One of the very effective ways of doing that is using digital communications. So we've been practicing with that a lot, and you guys have been doing just great. So thank you. But first, I want to share something with you. Where we are as a country, how far we've changed as a country, how much of a different nation we are. We're not even the same country anymore. This book is called, it's part of a series called the Resilience Trilogy. It's written by Major General, U.S. Army, retired Robert Dees. And I'm probably about a fifth of the way through the book. And yeah, not quite a quarter of a way through. This book is, I think, the third. Yeah, it's the third in the series called Resilient Nations. What it takes to be a resilient nation. And in this portion that I'm in right now, he's talking about the moral infrastructure. This is the spiritual infrastructure and what that looks like in a nation and a resilient nation. And resilient means it holds up, it lasts. What makes a resilient nation? And one of the top tiers, or actually the bottom foundational part of what makes a resilient nation is its spiritual infrastructure that we've basically destroyed in this country. You cannot have a country that lasts, that's resilient, that loses that, that destroys that spiritual infrastructure. That's what holds everything else up. But listen to this, how this country was just in World War II. So this is a girl writing in her diary during World War II. We stayed glued to our little radios as much as time allowed. It had been announced that a mighty invasion of Europe would have to happen, no matter what it cost, in order to turn back the forces of evil that were overrunning the world and inflicting such horrible atrocities on humankind. We were told that the invasion would be extremely hard and secret, and that we would know when it had begun, when all the church bells began to ring, fire sirens blew, and anything else that could make sound would give the signal to hurry to the churches and place of worship, to drop to our knees, to pray for our forces as they were engaging the invasion of Europe. So, around midnight, one evening, as we all lay sleeping, just as the sun was rising over the beaches of Normandy on June 6th, 1944, D-Day, we were awakened by the bells, fire sirens, horns honking, excited screaming, and calls from others to hurry, hurry to pray. We threw on anything and ran in crowds to the Catholic chapel, which was there on campus near us, and we fell to our knees, praying and crying. I really don't remember all the details, but I do remember the heartfelt, earnest pleas and prayers that rose up from that little chapel that night. This is from the recollections from a lifelong American patriot, Bobby Sue Robinson. We don't have that kind of America anymore. Because I've read other similar stories to this and heard about this. They had people, statesmen, the mayor, the governor, the leadership, telling them, everybody, when you hear this, it means to pray. They were taking guidance from the leadership that today you're not going to hear this from. You're not going to hear this message from the current people in leadership. It was a policy that was spread to everybody so that every community knew to start ringing their church bells. Well, today they wouldn't even allow them to ring church bells because, well, this is a national invasion. They're using a federal military, using public funds. So we can't have church bells to alert people because, well, that was a separation of church and state violation going on there. We can't have that. We're in trouble. We'll be back in just a minute. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then, let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
This is Shan Hemphill with Works LLC. We provide lifetime guaranteed holsters and magazine carriers for the armed citizen. Check us out at werkz.com or call 855-WORKS-01 for your custom gear needs. Don't forget to use coupon RFR at checkout for 15% off. Thank you and God bless.
Okay, we're going to wind this up, down, wind it down with segment four. John Jacob at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. That's how you get a hold of me. RadioFreeRedoubt.com is the website. If you want to learn more about communications, preparedness communications, it's AMRON, AMRRON.com. That stands for the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. This is, that last segment was sponsored by Katie Armor, the makers of AR-500 Level 3 Body Armor. And I want to remind you to use the coupon code when you're making your Christmas present for your loved one that you want to keep safe and bulletproof. Don't forget to use the coupon code John Jacob when you put in your order there at Katie Armor. And they will take great care of you. They just have a reputation that goes out before them. And it's true. They live up to it. Now, this segment in segment four is brought to you by AMP 3 Medical, Austere Medical and Preparedness Project, where they build medical and specialty gear, including communications gear for the prepared citizen. And we're going to be talking about AMP 3 this segment because they are the sponsor of a couple of great prizes that we're going to be giving away in this drawing coming up here in just a second. First, I want to throw a shout out to some folks and say thank you. I was doing some browsing on the internet, looking up some communication stuff. And, you know, you go down the rabbit hole and you go into this and open up that. Next thing you know, you have no idea where you are. And I stumbled across hamradiohawaii.com, who had amron.com linked over to the right-hand side. And it's kind of a ham operator in Hawaii who's an Amron operator. And they have, preparedness, citizen preparedness, self-reliance type of stuff, and lots of ham radio disaster communications type resources there, and articles and things and stuff, and including the amron.com link. So thanks, guys. I also want to shoot a a shout out to amateurradio15.com for the podcast that he does over there. He's an Amaron operator, FO Time. And you can go check them out at amateurradio15.com. Kind of like AR15.com, but only it's amateurradio15.com. And he does a really good job with his podcast. I catch either a whole one every now and then or little bits and pieces of him when I can, when I'm on the fly. And he does a good, really good job. And also, thank you over at Survival Reality. He's got a YouTube channel over there. He does a lot of reviews on different prepper gear. And he did a review on the SOI, the signals operating instructions, telling folks the benefit of having a standardized communications plan. And he does a lot of good work over there with a lot of different gear reviews and things that he covers. So thanks for that. I really appreciate that. And want to send some folks over to you to help support what you're doing, because you're doing a good job over there. Now, a couple of announcements. We've got the new net schedule for 2015 up at Amaron.com. It's in a PDF, and it is under the National Nets tab from that drop-down menu. Go down to, Scheduled Nets. From that, click on National Nets, and there's a PDF downloadable form that you can click on, right-click, save, print it out, and have that hanging up on the wall in your ham shack and in your communications binder, so that you at a glance can tell exactly what date and day those nets are and what frequency and mode we're running, at those times. So that will be a nice reference for you guys to have handy. And also, we are adding an actual calendar. We've got a couple of the partisans that are working diligently to get this calendar ready. It's a nice, beautiful, interactive calendar that'll show you any day of the week what nets are going on across the country, whether it's local or regional or national nets. We're shooting for January 1st to have that available, but we may actually get it up there sooner. We'll let you know, but just keep checking back on Amaron.com and be looking for that calendar announcement. Let's see, more and more people picking up the copies of the SOI, and the latest version is version 3. All previous versions are obsolete because we've done so many changes. There's a lot of mostly all the same information, but there's some stuff that's configured differently and moved around, and we made very significant changes to frequencies and modes and times, especially with the rolling nets. You'll see what we're talking about when you go check that out. Also, the online forms are available to you in the upper left-hand corner at Amaron.com. It's the communications resources. Click on that. The very top choice is Amaron forms. Everything from PDF forms, online forms that you fill out, and also your FL message forms, the custom forms that you can download into your digital programs. And one more thing before I move on, before we get into the drawings, is the communications forms for reporting, for sending in a situation report, which is a SITREP, something developing in your neighborhood, your country, or your county, where maybe a train derailed and there's, areas evacuating, whatever it might be. You go over there on the right-hand side on Amaron and click Submit SITREP, and that will take you right to the form. You just type in, fill it all in, hit click on Submit, and boom, that comes to us, and then we can inform others. We can assess that, look at it, try to confirm it. It helps if you put links in there to things that maybe a news report covering it, something like that, where we can get more information, but at least that'll get that shot off to us. And then also a spot report. If you see something, say something. For example, a spot report could be a situation like this sheriff's deputy standing next to the MRAP, making statements that probably making his sheriff pull his hair out. You see something like that kind of mentality or training or indoctrination or the results of indoctrination, you know, it could be a real world situation. We could get invaded. It'd be a way for you to maybe submit spot reports, see troop movements or anything like that. And then you can click that button and fill that form out, click submit when you see stuff going on. Maybe a series of checkpoints that are being set up, that kind of stuff. All right, now let's get into this drawing. You guys worked hard. The answer for last week was 556. There were three messages that were sent out using a digital mode, kind of like a fax machine type of a sounding sound, but that's actually text. And because of the training that we've done, the sequence of this is built up to using and incorporating these Amron custom forms. So when you click on this, when you receive it, you open it up and it's this nice, beautiful form all filled out, giving you a situation report. Well, there was also another, not a message. It was an image that was sent digitally. So instead of text opening up, this kind of a slow process, but over time, over, you know, probably a full minute, it takes to, or a couple of minutes, it opens up an image. And so this is a way for you to digitally send images as well. And that was pretty cool. And also, a lot of you guys are going and checking out VOA, Voice of America. They send, for your shortwave listeners and ham operators, you can go to Voice of America, and four times every weekend, they send a digital message. They put out news reports. And also they'll send a image up to four times over a weekend using different digital modes. So it's another great tool for you to be able to practice. You go to Amron.com and go in the search box up in the upper right-hand corner. See that little like a magnifying glass? Type in VOA or Voice of America do a search there, and we've got an article posted that talks about what Voice of America is doing, their program, and how you can participate. And that's a lot of fun, and it's good training. So, and we're doing that kind of stuff through Amron and Radio Free Redoubt as well. All right, so let's get to the drawing. We're going to do this in two different ways. Because everyone who's participated in the last month that we've been doing this, you also get a second chance to win, because we're keeping your ticket. And so for the first few prizes here, if you participated in the past, you could still have another chance to win if you didn't win before. And then everyone who participated last week in the final triple digital message that we did, there'll be a separate drawing for the two grand prizes for you guys. So let's get this done. I got a little frog in my throat here. Okay, make sure I'm doing this right. Okay, this is everybody from the past and this last weekend, all thrown in together in our handy dandy captured, recovered Iraqi helmet. Okay, so we got a lot of, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to give away four decals. These are the CH3 hectagon window decals, like you see at Amron.com. Really nice window stickers. And so we're going to give away four of those right now. And the winners for that are Charlie Mike 01, code name Charlie Mike 01. Next one is Farron, Foxtrot Echo Romeo Romeo Echo November Farron, and Delta Mike 03, and one more. I'm showing Papa 12. Papa 12. So those four code names right there: Papa 12, Delta Mike 03, Farron, and Charlie Mike 01. You guys just won some CH3 Amron window decals. Put that on the back of your rig or on the back of your radio or something like that. Now, next one is four Radio Free Redoubt window decals. You got a choice too. You got the traditional yellow oval that with Redoubt in it. This is Radio Free Redoubt, like our normal logo, or the skull logo, the skull with a, you know, the pirate skull with the headphones. That one. So you'll have your choice. We're going to give away four of those right now. So we've got Fletch 1701. Fletch 1701. And now we've got Charlie Sierra 02. There's going to be four of these now. Got Tango 05 and Echo Charlie 56. Echo Charlie 56. So the four winners of the Radio Free Redoubt window stickers, window decals, Tango 05, Charlie Sierra 02, Fletch 1701, and codename Echo Charlie 56. Congratulations, guys. Good job. We're working our way up. Now, this next one is really cool. We're going to give away a book that is the Clandestine Radio Operators Book. It's the first-hand account of how the resistance heroes lived and their training in England, along with color photos of the radio equipment they used, including accounts by British historians, radio operators, and those who belonged to the Allied Underground. It has a very cool book that's lots of pictures of their gear and some of the actual operators that worked behind enemy lines. Very cool. And so, Merry Christmas to you. And this one is going to Hotel 04. Codename Hotel 04. I'm going to write this down right now. And Hotel 04. It's all white. Okay. Good job. Now, we're going to give away a Baofeng UV-5R new in the box. Now, since these are so widely popular, somebody's probably already like, I already got one. Well, now you've got two. Now you got a backup. Redundancy, right? Two is one, one is none. Or this might be a good way to get somebody interested in getting their comms up. You got a brother-in-law, family, wife, daughter, son, somebody that you want to get involved in. This could be, you could re-gift it, right? I'm trying to figure out what to get for somebody. So we're going to give that away right now, and I've got the winner right here in my hand. Dropped it. Oop. Okay, the winner is Delta Mike 03. Delta Mike 03, you just won a Baofeng UV-5R. Good job. Congratulations. Thanks for training. Thanks for getting your comms up, and appreciate you being out there. Mike 03, highlight so I don't lose it. And there you are. This one is from Amp 3. It is called a Radio Buddy Radio Pouch. It's a small, it's really a nice little radio pouch provided by Amp 3. It fits your small portables like your UV-5R Baofeng radios, a Yaesu VX6 or a VX8, that size of radio. So here we go with the winner of the Radio Buddy radio pouch is Delta Romeo 03, codename Delta Romeo 03. Congratulations, you just won yourself a Radio Buddy radio pouch donated by Amp 3. And Delta Romeo 03. Congratulations. Next one. This is donated by Attitude Gear. They have actually an ATV flag, off-road vehicle flag company. And they sell, you know, these competitions, cross-country races and things like that. Really cool. But they also have antenna flags. And these are really, they made up some custom flags and sent them to us. We actually had them featured in a couple pictures from this summer when we did the God and Country celebration. And also when we did that SIGINT exercise in the COMSEN, in the SIGSEN, the Signals Center. We were doing monitoring operations. We had these on the wall. One was a pennant and one was a flag. They're pretty cool. So they are donating two of these. So we're going to give two away. And there's choices. We'll They're going to come directly from Attitude Gear. They're a supporter and sponsor of Radio Free Redoubt. Anytime you buy one of these flags for a radio antenna flag, Radio Free Redoubt or Amron on it, then that goes to help support Radio Free Redoubt and Amron. And it supports a Patriot-owned business. So pretty cool. Thank you guys at Attitude Gear for donating these. We got two of them coming. And this is one is Foxtrot 1-1. Foxtrot 1-1 and Codename Papa Zed. Those are the two winners of the Attitude Gear antenna flags. And that's Foxtrot 1-1 and Papa Zed. Very nice. Good job. We'll be getting in touch with you guys on these and let you know what it was that you won. And in case, you know, you're listening later in the week, you don't listen to till Wednesday or Thursday and you miss it tonight, then we'll let you know. And we'll make arrangements to get this sent out to a drop mail, secret mail drop or something that you set up so we can get that shot out to you. Okay, this is this is cool. I got a set. It's called In Freedom's Cause. It's the true story of Braveheart. It's the real story of Wallace and Bruce. It is an audio drama story, like an audio book, with all of the. Matter of fact, I'm going to play a little segment for you right now, so you can just hear a little bit of this. I got a copy for myself right at the same time when I received a copy from a very good friend. And now I have two of them. So I'm going to give mine away. I'm going to give my copy away to somebody because this is something I want to share with you guys. And so here we go. Let me play this for you.
Within minutes, the Bruce and Ned, enveloped in thick cloaks, galloped northward and into their destiny.
We can rest our horses here for a moment. London.
If I might ask.
Aye, Sir Ned.
Why did you go to King Edward's side when your country needed you?
In my mind, I never wavered. I stood on the side of whomever would bring my country true peace. Whether it was my fealty to England or my alliance with Wallace. Now, I realize my error. Scotland's freedom is much more precious than her peace. Those who call for her peace at the expense of freedom will, in the end, lose both.
Aye.
Farewell to London. The die is cast this time for good. It is now death or victory.
Bruce dispatched messengers to his friends, calling on them to gather in secret at a barn in Greyfriars.
Isn't that cool? That's just, I don't know, I love that story. Of course, everybody loves Braveheart. But this was so well done. I thought, you know, I want to share this with somebody and use this is a good opportunity to be able to give it away. And that was just about a minute and a half, but it's two CDs with like 75 minutes on each one. It's the full book, but it's done in audio theater type of presentation. Very neat. Okay, so let's see. We've got who we got winning that one. In Freedom's Cause is Juliet 5-9er. You just won a copy of In Freedom's Cause 2 CD set, and I will get that to you right away. Juliet 5-9er. All right, and that's it. Good job, guys. Congratulations. Thank you very much, and Merry Christmas. Now we've got two prizes left, and these are a surprise for you guys. Now I've got the Iraqi helmet. Not giving away any radios. Okay, calm down. I'm not going to give away Yaesu 857. We don't make that much money. All right. Thank you guys, and thank you for the sponsors who donated some of these prizes and made this possible. Now, there's something I want to. The first one is going to be from 419 Systems. That's 419ersystems.com. This is very cool. I got a chance to meet the developer of this, true Patriot and an Amron operator. He owns what's called Survival Stories or Survival Stores. This is 419systems.com, and it's a program that they have. It's an application for your Mac or your Windows computer that'll help you plan and manage anything from a three-day food supply to a multiple year inventories of food, medicine, equipment, information, and emergency plans for a large family, even if it's spread out at multiple locations. This helps you. It's got so many features to help you inventory your food storage and all of your equipment, gear, fuel, everything, including the shelf lives, and let you know what the shelf life of things, what you need to rotate, what you have, where, what bin is this in. I mean, it's got everything. It's exhaustive. It's got a go kit builder, a contact builder, recipes. So you take your inventory, the stuff that you have stored up, and it will give you recipes. So actually what you do is it helps you store up and stock up on the stuff that you need to for the recipes that you have. You can produce all kinds of reports with this inventory duration assessment. You know, how long can you keep stuff? Best if used by dates and useful life inventory management. You can keep it encrypted for security and privacy. It's got just a great support system built into it. Built-in database backup. What else? I mean, just on and on. This is a very, very cool thing. It's apparently runs with zero installation, so it doesn't impact your computer at all. But it is an application that runs on your computer for all of your food storage and managing all of that. Just really cool. So this is from 419 Systems Survival Stores application, and that is coming at you. And it's spendy, but well worth it. But for somebody, it's going to be a Christmas present. So congratulations. Now, and this is going to go to, got it right here. This is Echo Freedom. Echo Freedom. Code name Echo Freedom. You are the winner of the Survival Stores from 419 Systems. Congratulations. And thank you guys all for your persistence. Especially with that triple digital message, it challenged so many of you guys. Some of you guys that you just like, I can't get this, and then you just plowed through it and you got it. So good job. I just can't tell you guys how proud of you that I am. You deserve to pat yourself on the back too, because it was not easy. I mean, it wasn't that difficult that you couldn't do it. And some people, they had no problems whatsoever, but that's not the point. It might be easy for you, but what happens when you run into a problem? This is what defines. This is what makes an Amron operator from just an average Joe prepper radio guy. Because if you're going to get frustrated and give up and say, oh, this ain't for me, and walk away right now in peacetime when it's easy. You know, the people, it's kind of interesting to see, like, this guy's got the best chance, or this guy over here, or this gal here. It tells you a lot about the character of the people that give up so easy and those that don't. Those are like, okay, I'm not getting this, but I know it's important. So how can I figure it out? They'll go and they'll read forums. They'll email people and ask them to troubleshoot. Hey, can you test this? Send this audio file to me so I can test it. Can you, I mean, they just dig in, and they're persistent, and they come out the other side. But other people, a little too hard, requires a little too much of me. It wasn't easy. I didn't get to click on a button and it just fell right into my lap. So they give up. So if that's you, then do a self-assessment, do an evaluation. Did I give up too easy? because this is doable. I mean, you know, 90% of the people are doing it. They're getting it done. If you're not, then why? I mean, do an assessment. Is something not right? Do I not have a button clicked? Do I not? And the more you work through these issues, the more two things happen. One, you realize that if you don't practice with your gear, you're not going to communicate in a real world situation. And two, it helps you become familiar with your equipment when you have to work bugs out. Now, when you have a support network to turn to and say, I'm not getting it, help, then we can help you with it. And we can walk you through, we can give you resources, we can guide you. And then all of a sudden you reach the aha moment and it works and you get it, you got it. And now you're so much more familiar with your equipment and your software or whatever it is that you're working with, then you can help someone else. So if things go down, you might not need as much help or any help at all because you got help now. And I have a lot of respect for you guys that, especially the ones that had issues and problems and it wasn't working for you right and you couldn't figure out why, and we're going back and forth and emailing and getting involved on, you know, different resources, and other Amron operators are contacting each other and helping each other out, and they got it and they end up working out. So it's worth it in the end. Now, all right, last prize. This is worth over $200. This is a tech pack from Amp 3. I want you to go up and read about it yourself. And there's a YouTube video that goes through this thing. This is really designed really with the 857, the Yaesu 857 in mind, because that's what Dave from Amp 3 has, you know, when he built this. However, this can fit any similar size radio. There's space for a tuner for it. There's spare battery, a light bar. None of that stuff comes with this, but what I'm saying is the LED light system. Everything is configured so that you can set this up. It is extremely well built, built in the USA, custom designed by an Amron operator, by a prepper, by an experienced person with lots of field testing experience, that went through and just kept designing and redesigning and refining this product. And now it is a squared away, top of the line, tactical field use, portable, radio, setup. I mean, it's very cool. It's called the Tech Pack, and you'll be able to read more about that. We're going to be shooting that out to the winner. I'm going to pull that name up here in just a second. So here we go. Who's going to win the tech pack from Amp 3? It is Coyote Brown, and it's loaded with pockets. And I'll be glad when he designs one for an IC7200. He says he's going to work on that. Oops, I dropped one on the floor. That would not be good. Okay, fair and square, Legal Eagle, here you go. Here's the winner of the tech pack. And this is going to fit the tuner, spare battery, all your gear, cables, antenna, and a radio of equivalent size to an 857D if you have one of those or something similar. And the winner is Bravo 32. Bravo, code name Bravo 32. You just won a tech pack from Amp 3. Now go to amp3.net and look that up. Just do an internet search for tech pack Amp 3 and read all about this that you just got. Also, you can go to YouTube and type in Amp 3 or USNER doc, put in tech pack Yaesu, and that video will pop up there. We're also going to include that in the highlights and resources posting. And I will email this to you later tonight. If you're not listening live, then I will email this to you with the links, and we'll arrange to get that to you. So congratulations, Bravo 32, for that. And I'm going to type this in right now so I don't forget. And that's probably one of the ones that I dropped on the floor. But you're good to go, my man. I want to thank everybody for helping us this year in 2014 grow. And my goodness, how far we've come in 1 year between Radio Free Readout and AMP 3. AMP 3's grown a lot too. And AMRON, the American Readout Radio Operators Network. It's growing so fast, we can't even keep up with it. Somebody must think we're like this major squared away organization, like, you know, like the ARRL or something. But we're not. We're volunteers and we work hard, and we got more and more hands coming in, making light work and being helpful. But it's just so rewarding, and I think it's so necessary. And some of us just feel called to, for some reason, to kind of gravitate toward this communications effort. We don't know what it'll turn into, what it'll lead to one day. If nothing else, it'll just be a lot of fun and make some great relationships and friendships for life, you know. And we don't know what it's going to turn into, but it's a good journey to be on together right now. And I'm just very thankful for you guys, for all of your support and your hard work. And making a nationwide network into what it is. There's nothing else like it. There's similar things, but there's nothing like AMRON. And you guys all made it possible. So thank you for that. RadioFreeRedoubt.com. This is episode 1449, winding down. You guys all have a blessed week, and look forward to working with you and training with you throughout the week. There will be no nets because the next set of nets for the national nets are on Christmas Eve, Christmas, you know, those days. So no more nets until the first week of January. So be checking AMRON.com for updates and information and some of the changes that are coming to help us improve. Anyway, God bless all of you, and this is the Voice of the American Redoubt. My name is John Jacob Schmidt, and my name is your name too. Good night.